Hey guys, it's Elena.
And it's Candace.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime. I'm just here to remind you that last week we talked about Tyler Skaggs and his case about fentanyl. Now, I don't want to go into too much details. You're just going to have to go listen to it if you did not listen to it. So is the last week's episode. At the end of that episode, I told you that we would be having an interview with one of my friends, Stephanie, who lost her son due to fentanyl poisoning. So have a listen to our interview with Stephanie.
So I worked with you and met Kyle when he was about one or two, I think it was. He was a little cutie patootie with curly hair, lots of energy. So tell us a little bit about Kyle.
Through the years since, you know, you've met him, of course, you know, they hit those middle school teenage years and he wasn't as rambunctious and fun. You know, I remember he used to dress up in Spider-Man costumes and be like, you know, all that good stuff. That was a lot of fun. But as the, you know, they get older, they are trying to find themselves. And, he was still a good kid as in like always checking if there's something I needed as a single mom or just in general, just being probably a better friend to others than to himself sometimes. Probably a lot like me, where I was always giving and helping others. So as he became older and a teenager, that's when I started seeing a lot of difference in how he was. You know, before he used to be involved in football and sports, and then high school years, it was his sophomore year. I noticed he didn't want to do football. He talked about how some of the guys he didn't like. So I was like, well, you need to find something to be doing because you can't be doing nothing. but through the years, he just got a lot smarter. Like, I never liked to, not to get into politics or anything, but I never liked that side of things. But he researched everything, you know, everything. And anytime he tried to talk to me about stuff, I'd be like, no, that's conspiracy. And he's like, Mom, do you know how conspiracy was started? I was like, no. He goes, just like how you turned me off and I'm trying to talk to you about this, it was started during an election to have division. So that really opened my eyes, you know. This is my second time voting, and it of course was after Kyle passing. So he really
learned a lot from him.
Yes Yes.
So you had several conversations with Kyle, you know, just as a mom, pointing him in the right direction. Was he getting mixed in the wrong crowd? I've heard you talk about him. He had a previous football injury or something. So what?
You know, it wasn't until he passed and I heard another parent talk about how they think maybe their son maybe thought it was okay to take medications or take anything. And she said her son had a football injury. And when I looked back at things, Kyle had a go-kart accident. You know, he was out with his friends and had injured his shoulder. And of course, it wasn't anything they could really do. I think they put a sling and they gave me some pain meds. And of course, during that time, I was like, nope, you can't have it. I'll have it. And I gave him the pills each time. But you never think of, this is one of the things even for myself being now pregnant, you know, it's all about what you're putting in your body and what you're doing. And, you know, yes, a lot of things have side effects, but we don't think about that. It's just normalized to take, you know, when I go speak and I talk about this, it's like, it's so normalized. Oh, if you have a headache, here's a pill. You know, if you have a cold, here's a pill. You know, everything's very fast, quick kind of thing. So on that aspect with Kyle, That's where I kind of pinpoint where it's like, yes, we had the sex conversation, we had the drugs conversation. His dad was very involved in smoking weed. There's certain things around if that's good or not too, but from a child, smoking weed or marijuana, their development's not all there. So that's something I even explained to him too, because he had came home one day and I was like, I ain't stupid. What'd you do? He was like, oh, we were just chilling. And I was like, okay, well, why did you do it? And he goes, I don't even remember doing it, but sometimes it's just nice to kind of chill and hang out. And I go, that's sometimes why us adults later, when you're able to drink, sometimes you're, so we had those conversations. I would say with the people he was hanging out with, he kind of was like how I am, where I'm kind of a hung out with everybody, but didn't really have, there's maybe a couple friends they hung out with. And some of those friends, I'll be honest, we had the conversations I did not care for. But what I did instead is I had them come to our house a lot of times, they just grew up more in the not good side of town, and maybe not both parents, which, I didn't either, but Kyle had the his dad around and his uncle around, but it was very sparingly kind of thing, so I think a lot of times when I look back, Kyle was looking for a lot of the father figure and his dad wasn't around. So that's something that his dad, Stephen, really beats himself up right now. He's, yeah, that he wasn't there as much as he could have been as a father, and instill the things he thought tough love was going to win. But I tried to explain to him, okay, I'm the loving, caring one that's all around him all the time. You're not. He needs, I'm the safe place, but I'm talking to you that I'm seeing some of these things, and instead of him saying, okay, I'll take you to lunch, da da da, no, he tried to call him on his BS. Like,
Wanted to parent.
he wanted a parent, and it's great, but not. So of course, at that age, Kyle was 16, and was kind of like, F you, dad, like, what do you have to say for your life? And you smoked weed, so it just didn't jive well. And I tried to explain that to his dad, and he was like, no, that's what I needed at his age. I was like, well, you might have needed that, but you also didn't have the side of like where I was a caring, loving, he knew the rights and wrongs of everything, but yes, his friends, I wish we can't always pick the friends they choose, you know what I mean? I know when my parents would say the same thing about me, and I look back at things and I'm like, oh, I had the friend that would like sneak out or say she's spending a night with me, all that different stuff. And he same thing kind of happened to him. And I was like, well, you can't be doing that, like, and I explained to him, but I also wouldn't do what my parents did, where they try to stop having me around certain friends, and like then you wanted to hang out with that friend more. So I try to be in the middle at all times, is like, okay, you if you're going to drink or do something, not that I want you to be, I'd rather you call or tell me what's going on. So
Sometimes it's hard to find that balance.
yes, a very hard balance. One of my biggest messages, now, and it to tell you a little of the story of Kyle too. Once he passed away, it was during COVID, so it was July. Technically, the 14th is when they pronounced him gone. I found him on the 13th, so I kind of get a day to myself before other people reach out and just say, "Hey, sorry for your loss." But it took almost. Trying to think, it's now been 4 years. It took almost 6 months, through like 4 to 6 months, for me to even find out what it was, because it was during COVID. So that was the biggest thing, is I found him outside on my back porch, looked everywhere in the house, couldn't find him, but his iPhone kept saying he was there, and I'm like, okay, looking in his his bed, like maybe
You
he
had
snuck
come
out.
home from work.
Yeah, I came home from work. It was during tax season. I was doing taxes during that year, and that's when they extended it, and came home, couldn't find him anywhere. And I don't know, something in my spirit told me to check outside. No lights were on, the door was locked, If I had not turned on the light and actually stepped outside, I would not have seen him. He was to the side of our patio door area and just
Wow.
on the ground. Some foam kind of coming out. The weirdest part, and I've told the investigators and detective then and even now, is a lot of people don't know this part of it, but the weird part is it seemed like someone tried to cover it up. I'm pretty sure he was with friends or a friend.
Oh, which would kind of explain why the door was locked.
Yeah, so the door was locked. The only thing I can think of is he met up with a friend, like this is me kind of doing my own detective
Yeah.
skills, through the years. The only thing I think of is he met a friend because there was a best friend that he was not allowed to be around as much. I didn't mind if, he asked me or if he told me about it. This time he didn't, and that was not like him at all to not tell me. I think what happened is he met him down at the park down the street, and either he took it there or the friends came back, and that's when he took what he thought was a Percocet pill. It was actually pure fentanyl. So he died with 14 in his system, and two kills you.
Wow, Stephanie. Oh
Yes,
my
yeah.
gosh.
So getting the autopsy and them just like, it said acute fentanyl intoxication, being very dismissed during that time frame when it was also COVID and, nobody being around each other. That was really, I'll be honest, that was really a hard time frame because when we try to do even his celebration of life, because I know he wouldn't want to do the funeral stuff, we didn't like those. There was a lot of people that were very hesitant about coming, and a lot of it was fear during that time frame, and I understood, but at the same time, I'm like, I gotta do this for me and I gotta do this to honor him. So I was like, you come. If not, whatever, you can do your own thing. So that was a really hard time doing that, is just because at that time they weren't investigating. There was no laws. They literally passed my son off as he was a drug addict at 16.
Oh.
And one of the things that really, I'll be honest and I share, is that what finally, like, people always ask me what like finally got me to like just get up and do something about it, is one of the things I told somebody when I was laying in bed because I was grieving during that time frame. And I remember getting a letter, and it was from the Texas Department of Health, and it was addressed to Kyle. And I'm like, this is weird. And I open, it's like, dear Kyle, you tested positive for COVID. And I had just told somebody, I go, they better not pass my son's death off as no COVID bullshit.
Oh my
Like,
Lord.
don't get me wrong, I do know COVID was real. I got the second strain, years later, but it's like, but the way they did things. So I immediately went to the Texas Department of Health. Turns out they did do a swab, but they weren't talking to the police station. Like, there's just a lot of things I found out through our county and system that is not good and it doesn't work. And when I talked to the Texas Department of Health, they were like, I'm so sorry you got that. I go, I got this 4 months later. Like, what if I had kids or a family and you're telling me po test positive that day, but I don't find out for, months later?
Right.
And of course, there was excuses like, oh, well, we're just so far behind. I'm like, at what point do you even send something? Like, by then being
Right.
quarantined and all the other things, like, you should just get rid of those. You don't even need to, you know what I mean? Like, I told him, I was like, I told him my story and I was just like, I can't believe that, like, how many other people got a letter like this? And, so of course it wasn't on his birth certificate. Not birth certificate, his death certificate. So I wasn't too furious, but
Oh,
still
yeah.
getting that letter, I was just like, so that's when something just in me woke me up. And ever since then, and then when Kyle's birthday, so he passed in July, and then his birthday is November 29th, which is coming up too. And always around after Thanksgiving time frame. But his birthday was coming up, and that's when I finally was like, I felt like during those several months, it was a time for me to not only grieve, but like I always say, through my journey each year since it's been 4 years, the first year was finding love, like love, like, and love for myself, love for everything again, to realize who was there and not. Because there's a lot of people, honestly, when you grieve, and this is the area I never, as a counselor, thought I'd be helping with, grief and drugs and addiction. Nope. That was like the last areas I wanted
Oh, yeah.
to help with, and
Difficult.
that's what I've been doing. So, but the first year was love, like figuring out who's really there for me, who wasn't, you know. And the second year was the peace, like finding peace with his death and trying to understand, because like I said, nobody was helping me on the law enforcement. The detective, when I called him and said, "Why didn't you call me to tell me how he passed?" He basically told me, I have still my phone to this day, and I've written letters. But
Oh, man.
he basically said that, oh, there was he was in court and he was dealing with real homicides.
Stephanie, I am so sorry. That's
So that was one of the hardest things, to see your own county, your own like city, to not like really research or look into everything at the time of it, and then later. So of course, you know, through that first year, it was just finding love for myself, finding love of, you know, who's around and who isn't around, like legitimate people. Like I had falling outs of friendships through the past 4 years, just because I now speak out about it. Some people can't like
understand what you're.
understand, or they don't want to hear. Like I have these wristbands that says Kyle still speaks, and on the other side it says one fake pill can kill. And that's what I started doing, and that was the only way for me to grieve, was to, like, if there was a cashier that looked young or a waitress that looked young, I would hand it to them and they'd say thank you, and then they'd go, "Well, what do you mean one fake pill kills?" And I explained to him, I'd be like, lost my 6-year-old son, got it from a best friend, thought he could trust, and ended up being pure fentanyl. And they're like, "What's fentanyl?" So it opened conversations, and there's some people that couldn't handle me talking about that kind of stuff, you know. So that was kind of my, like I said, you know, love, peace of, you know, realizing how he got it. And that was still the second year, they still weren't prosecuting either. And what was frustrating to me is when, because I was in the Tarrant County city of Fort Worth, close to White Settlement, in Weatherford, not even like, I think the next year, they found the person and charged them. And then so it's like all these other counties were charged. And I'm like, okay, what's going on with Fort Worth and what's going on with certain counties? You know what I mean? So that was really frustrating. And the more I spoke out, you know, and that's when I started Kyle Still Speaks, like started trying to go to schools and churches and speaking out. And I threw my first rally down at the Tarrant County Courthouse. I was like, I don't know who else needs this, but I know I need
I
this.
love that.
So, yeah. So I did my first speaking engagement down there. And how I came across this is this during COVID, remember, not everybody was out and about. So I was like, okay, I remember during school when you needed help, or if you would tell your, you know, clients how to get help. So a lot of times we're like talking about support groups. So I was like, okay, maybe there's something group on Facebook. And I started seeing everybody but Texas, not a lot of people are talking about the fentanyl yet because it just barely started coming through. But I met people from New York, California, Washington, and they all had started their organizations.
Okay, a whole network of
It
people.
was a whole network like around the world that I'd already been going through this before we had. And so they, I was going to do a girlfriend's trip. Because my girlfriend was like, okay, Stephanie, you just lost Kyle. Let's just get out of here. I got to get out of here too. And we went to North Carolina, Asheville. And she, when I talked with these people, like Diane, what's her last name? I can't think of it. Diane, she started appalled. But and then Jaime Puente, like all these key people that started it, they were like, well, we're going to Washington. There was some kind of event that was going on, and I was like, okay, I can't make that one. And they had another one that was in Ohio, and I was like, okay, that's not far from North Carolina, I'll stop in. And they were talking to the drug czar then, and that was when Trump was in administration during that. And man, that man Jim Carroll, like he saw our pictures of our kids, and he just didn't realize what was happening, you know. And he was on our side, and it was right before all the political stuff, and things changed. But it was like we had him, he was going to be working on it, and then the administration changed. So then we're like, oh gosh, now we're starting all over again, So the biggest thing that, I try to do here locally is I remember how it felt when I found other people in other states. That was nice. But that's when I started Texas Fentanyl, North Texas Fentanyl Coalition. Because I was like, and so I was kind of the Texas rep with all the other organizations. They were like, hey, contact Stephanie. And then I would reach out to the people. And like, I have more friends that have passed that through the thing of, I think it's almost 600, 700, 800 people that are on my Facebook just from other parents, grandparents, spouses that I've met through the years, that, I've tried to get them plugged in. One of the biggest thing I always tell them is, you don't have to share your story right now, like especially the people that just lost it, their kids or loved ones. I was like, but I'll be your voice. All I need you there is just be a body, hold a poster up, hold a sign up. And what's been really neat and what I feel like God's kind of shown me through the years too now is by me just listening to him, because girls, I'll be honest, like when this all happened, I didn't want to get out of bed. There was a lot of things I did not want to do. And I remember when I finally got back into church, and I remember they were talking about if we want change, we have to be the change. And that's taking political, spots, being in the education, like whatever we need to be doing. And that's when I drove through downtown Fort Worth, and that's when I felt like God told me have a rally here. And then that's when I met all these, it's kind of been a domino effect of the people I've met. And now all the people that I was helping, they're now carrying on, I say carrying on the torch. They're sharing their stories, they're getting people plugged in, especially right now with me being pregnant. I'm like, I'm kind of on the back skirts of things.
Yeah, and that so you talk about the network, and getting to know people. So I told you I was doing this case about Tyler Skaggs, which we had the episode drop the week before. So you had said that a group of y'all were just really upset that, here's this celebrity baseball player getting all this publicity on his case, and so y'all really wanted to do something about that as well. Tyler Skaggs, his drug dealer, was charged and put in prison. So tell me about that.
Yeah, that's one of the things, like I said, it's like Kyle passed, and then I started seeing like all these other kids and people dying around, and those counties would do anything. But then I think it was like a year or two after Kyle that happened. And I was like, wait, what? Like, it just all of us other parents that have been speaking out or trying to get the detectives to look at things, nobody was doing anything. So that was, I would be honest, that was very frustrating for us parents that, okay, here's an adult that's a celebrity versus a child that you're passing off as a drug addict, maybe trying it for the first time, or even if they weren't. Like I always say too, like nobody deserves to be dying from something that they did not know they had. Like Kyle and many of the other angels kids that we have, they'd be here today if they had a real Percocet or real ADHD medicine or a real, any of that kind of stuff. So it was frustrating to hear, oh, because this celebrity now is, we're investigating, we're looking into it, but nothing was being done. So that's when we went to the governor. Like we got to the point where I think it was 2 years ago. Yeah, 2 years ago now. That we went to him and he had his own conference. So now, because one of the biggest things we also was frustrating is a lot of us parents are coming out of pocket, unless you started your organization. And even if you start your own organization, you're raising money. So a lot of us were buying our own billboards, like together to bring awareness or trying to get flyers out there, just trying to bring awareness wherever we could. And
So does
that's when,
your organization takes donations and all of that?
we take all that. And
So
so,
again, y'all just that's called North Texas Fentanyl Coalition.
We'll link it in the show notes.
Yes.
So that was one of the things that was frustrating. That's why when we finally talked to governor, it's like, as parents, grandparents, spouses should not be having to, do all this on our own. So that's when he came up with a campaign with us, One Pill Kills. And so it was nice to see finally now, like, they're teamed up with the Texas Health Department and the education. There was another Stephanie in out of Austin that she lost her son Tucker, and she helped as well talk with the governor, and she wanted where there was education in the schools. So we haven't seen it quite yet. It's about to be here, but basically we got to the point where, like, okay, we it's hard getting into the schools, we noticed, unless you maybe talked with the counselor or somebody else that were looking for speakers. But a lot of the schools, I'll be honest, even Kyle's school, want to turn their eye away and their face away, like, oh no, this doesn't happen here. Like, even though they know that there's a problem there with not only vapes, drugs, and whatever else that are being snuck in the, bathrooms and things. So what they're doing now is they're actually going to have curriculum, and they're going to actually have a segment on fentanyl and talking about how, some of the potent drugs. So that way,
Amazing.
yes.
Yeah, that's
I
amazing.
mean, I know people say a lot of negative things about Governor Abbott, but he really cares, and that's really cool that he's putting so much effort and listening to y'all.
Oh yeah. Well, I think the biggest thing, because I had never met him too. I didn't even know he was in a wheelchair. Like, I told you, I wasn't into politics until, like, later on. So I feel like Kyle's kind of been my guiding person for some of that stuff. But when I finally met him, he was just, out of other politicians I've met, he was very sincere. The way he hugged, the way you could just see the tears behind his eyes of seeing all the kids and people that were just, because one of the things that I spoke a lot about is, if you saw the numbers from when Kyle passed, I used to have these memorized because I used to speak a lot. I think there was only 9 or 10 deaths in Tarrant County the year Kyle passed, or something. Like, there wasn't very many. And then it went up to like 60, then it went up to like 100. Like, it just kept getting worse and worse and worse in each county. And that was my biggest thing, is like, everybody then was talking about COVID, and it was just very masked. And there's a huger epidemic that nobody's talking about. And I think that was the part that was very frustrating. And so Greg Abbott at that time too, he had lost somebody too from it. And so it was something also very dear to him as well, with everything as well. So it was nice to hear and see other people that, once he came into town here, in Tarrant County, one of the things that we did too is, we had a round table. And that was the first time, like, actually meeting him. He heard a couple of our stories. He heard Julie, who had somebody prosecuted, and they found how far, like, it was somebody that was coming into the United States, and it was being, so they, like, they went all the way back to Mexico. So they did a lot of investigation for that one and shut that down, which was nice. I think it was even coming through California and all this other stuff.
Oh my
So it
God.
was really nice finally to, hear all these different stories, but they're all the same, like, of what happened. And the biggest part that at that time that I did is, education's key, right? And that was a part where he really listened, and I got to tell him, I was like, this isn't an overdose. So that's one of the biggest things that we say now, is it was a fentanyl poisoning. Because if
Absolutely.
our kids or loved ones had actually gotten what they were supposed to, they'd be here now. So, like, if somebody put something in my drink that I didn't know it was there, it would be called poison. So that was one of the things that, here locally, like, now I got the sheriff, Wayborn, other cops, and other people, like, changing terminology. Because once anybody said, oh, it's overdose, like, everybody just kind of quickly dismissed it and didn't want to talk about it, because when you think of overdose too, you think of the homeless, or you think of somebody that's addicted, that's on the side of the street. You don't really see the person and hear their story. So once we did that too, I think that was the biggest wake-up call, is once you change people's perspective, just like with mental health, it's a stigma, right? With when you hear certain things, but once you change their idea behind it and realize, hey, this is something severe, it's a disorder, just like with fentanyl too.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you hit the nail on the head. It's education. We have, if nobody's talking about it, nobody knows. And I'm just so proud of you, and you're so strong, and everything that you've done, going to talk to the governor and starting your own organization. But you've been through a lot of heartache, and but look at you now. You're pregnant with twins, and you get two little blessings. And so yeah, I appreciate you coming on and talking about Kyle. He still speaks. You give him a voice, and I love that.
Yes,
That's amazing. I think he would be so incredibly proud of you and what you're doing. I'm sure he was proud of you in life, but if he could see it now, I just think he would be like, wow, that's my mom.
That's my
That's my
mom.
mom.
It's crazy you say that, because when I was starting to do some of the because I used to do marketing before I did counseling side, and I remember I was trying to come up with like sayings, and like Kyle went through the stage where he wanted to be a rapper. Everybody goes through those certain stages, right? And I found some of his raps and some other things, but he always wanted to be famous too, right? So one of the things is one of the billboard things ideas I had is like I only made it to 16 and I wanted to be famous, but like some of the things I've been thinking for marketing ideas, I know he's probably like, Mom, like really, like why are you using that? You know what I mean? But yeah, so there's it's funny that you said that, because there's some times where I'm like, I can hear him, but then there are times I'm like, he's probably like, Mom, really? Like,
Just
don't
stop.
use that picture, don't use those words. Okay, that's okay. But you know what I mean? Like, yeah, to kind of, especially, the biggest thing that's crazy through the years too is when I first started and Kyle passed, there was not a whole lot of people speaking about it, right? And through the years, like now, you finally see the news talking about it, which is finally nice. Like I remember the first year or two, it was so hard. I was reaching out to all the news stations and nobody locally even wanted to do it. Finally, Jason Allen from Channel 11 did it, my interview, and I said, I will not do this interview if you use the word overdose. I stood my ground, and he used the word fentanyl poisoning. He agreed. So it was one of those things. It was like learning boundaries too with other people
Oh,
and
true.
educating them too. But one of the biggest things that I also talk to people too, is not only the signs to look for, with your kids, but also the aspect of, when I talk to the kids, because they're now like, when I go and speak now, I had to go change my PowerPoint and change my the way I usually do it. Now they know and see it. Like that's one of the things that I think's been a little upsetting and frustrating. And I listen to the teenagers and kids in college, and when somebody passed away, they're the teachers in not all schools, but most of what I've seen, a lot of them would just very quickly not acknowledge really why that person passed away. And so to me, that is a very good opportunity to not only honor that person and the students, but also open up for the count. Of course they say, oh, if you want to speak to counselors, but when they don't even know why or what happened and they're hearing rumors, like that was, I think, the biggest thing that is hard hearing is these students and kids, they knew more than us parents about fentanyl. Like, at first they only knew, oh, don't be careful, don't buy from that person because that one's real potent. But they didn't realize how severe the aspect was. So I think that's the biggest thing is when I talk to people too, is it's like there's two ways that you can go about life. You can be Kyle that was loving, caring, and didn't know and naive and tried something for the first time and lost his life, Or you can be the best friend that sold the pill and then had to live the rest of the several years. We actually lost him last year. And his was, he fought addiction for the next several years. But also, can you imagine, you know, a lot of people are like, Stephanie, you've kept it in and you've not been like angry at, you know, the person. You know, when I had all the evidence and we saw the, you know, him leaving the air, you know, we turned it all in and I just gave it to God at that time, you know, with the prosecution. If there was going to be anything that happened, it was going to happen. If not, not. But the biggest thing is, it was the forgiveness part, right?
Absolutely.
But not only the forgiveness, but I thought to myself, I was like, this could have easily happened with me and a best friend or a friend. Like, we could have thought it was something and then gave it. And then, so that is the other thing that we are trying to work with Governor Abbott, is that there's a difference of somebody not knowing, you know, and then they give it to someone else, you know, versus someone that's wheeling and dealing and knows what it is, you know, kind of aspect too. So, so that's the other thing I say, is there's two ways you can go through life, is, you know, are you going to trust your friend all the time? Or are you going to trust your gut and that you shouldn't be doing this? Or are you going to become maybe addicted to something that you didn't think you were going to and lose your life? So it kind of happens twofold with some of that stuff, you know?
Yeah. Wow. What a story. I mean,
yeah,
we're so thankful that you, I mean, we talk a lot about turning your pain into purpose, with some of the cases that we talk about. And like, I can't even imagine having to make that decision. Like, okay, am I going to crumble here, or right, am I going to get up and do something, or am I just going to be in the middle? And you just like went all out, and you're literally saving people's lives. I mean, you're providing education and you're saving parents from having to go through the same thing you did. And I mean, it's just so amazing. And we feel honored that we got to talk to you about it. Is there anything else you want to?
No, I think the only other thing is, you know, we do the education part, but in speaking, but we also do the grief side, you know, so if there's other people that I've lost, I'm kind of now the number one contact in the area. Even when, now what's nice is, I never thought where I am now I would be, right? Like, in the midst of it, when it first happened, I'll be honest, there was days that were dark. I thought about at one point taking a pill and writing a note, you know, maybe somebody would pay attention, you know? And I tell that story too, that, you know, there'll be times where you go through the grief part. But also one of the things is, we also not only educate, we also try to be there for others. But since then, like I said, you can see how one pain, now there's other things that are happening. You know, the governor, other people have gotten on board. And now even in the Tarrant County area, they do have just a fentanyl task force. So that detective I talk with quite a bit, and I'm kind of the, when they have something going on, or, you know, they need somebody, they reach out and they're like, hey, I just had this person pass away. Can you talk with the patient? You know, so that is one of the things that is nice, is that never thought I'd be on the other side of this, where I'm now having, you know, twins and speaking out, and now other people are carrying the torch. But I think the biggest,
you do have your license for counseling, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And isn't that amazing that you've been through it? You know how to help people even better now.
Yeah. And I had to go through it myself, which sucks.
It does.
The only other thing is, the biggest thing we do is Narcan. I didn't know about Narcan. I think previously, like, not really trying or doing many of that, you know, drugs or anything in general, I didn't really even know about it either. And, that's one of the things that we do, do as well, as if anybody knows that they, do it, or they are, maybe their kids are, you know, just in general, we have Narcan on hand. So that is one of the things that, I always tell parents, is to actually take two or three boxes, just because, of how potent fentanyl is. it could take a while for the ambulance to get there. So that's one of the biggest things is I don't know when Kyle passed. I think it had maybe even been several hours before I'd gone home, maybe. But there you can there's so many different articles I see where someone had it and it saved their life until the ambulance got there. And in each box there's two. So sometimes you have to administer two of them before they even get there. So there's the very, I think it's like within that first minute or four, like there's, it's a very small window. And it, even if it's not that and somebody administers it, it still won't harm them either. So that's one of the things that's nice is I've shown them and I've done it how it works. It's just a nasal spray. And so even if it's not that, but if it is, it could help save someone's life too.
And how do
So
you get that?
I do have that through my organization, North Texas Fund Coalition, but we are, that is one of the other things we're working on is I'm partnered with Livegy, Livegy, and they started I think like last year or so, and they administer it, and they have it where it's like on a kind of like a hanging thing, so they go into all the bars and a lot of the sorority fraternities, places where people maybe are drinking and there might be drugs involved, and they have it where it's like you can take one, you know, so they have it there for them. So that's one of the things that is nice is we're, you know, we're trying to get vending machine, you know, we're trying to get other things because it's normally, oh gosh, it's probably gone down some, maybe, maybe not. It's been a while since I've looked, but it was, I think, without insurance, it was like $75, you know, without it. So, since as a nonprofit, I get through this the state, and so they have a certain amount that they give out to. There's a site that some people can get at least a couple of them sent to them, but for the most part, a lot of organizations like mine now are giving it away for free just because it's better to be safe than sorry, you know, for later. And I bring that up too because there is people that have like when we were in Dallas handing them out, there's several people that try to be like, you know, very like pushed off about it. And then when we actually explained what it was for, you know, like I even gave some to my grandparents because you can actually overdose on your own meds, you know.
You don't think about that.
Especially with your grandparents, you think about like, okay, they're getting older. They don't know if they took that, you know, they could actually take more of it, you know. So that Narcan can help in other ways too. So I always tell people, you know, even if you don't think, I always tell keep it in the medicine cabinet, keep it somewhere that even and have the conversation with the kids. 'Cause I think that's the biggest thing that I probably when these twins get a little bit older, they'll know about their brother, but they'll also know like what can help for things and they'll know about it because I tell people as young as kindergarten, first grade, because there was one point they were making gummy bears with fentanyl.
Oh, Lord Jesus, what?
So I don't, yes.
Oh, man.
So there's a lot of, you know, debunking all these things about being careful about Halloween. Like, okay, I'll be honest that there is like, okay, there's probably not somebody passing out candy, you know, at for Halloween. But somebody, because that how I found out about this was probably, I think it was after a year or two Kyle passed, there was a bunch of kids that had gotten poisoned at school. Luckily, they were at school, but they were barely in elementary. A kid had gotten his parents gummy bears, not realizing what they were. They actually had fentanyl in them, brought them to school, and luckily they were at school when it happened. So that's the other conversations I try to tell people to talk to their kids about is if you don't know where it came, you know, like even I know they thought it was their friend, you know, just like Kyle thought, you know, getting from a friend, but it's like I'm like, don't try or take anything like, yeah. So that's my biggest thing that I'll be telling
I mean,
my
we've
kids.
always been told say no to drugs. Now we have to be told say no to candy.
Yes,
And like
yes.
my girls are so young and they're in preschool, but they're not allowed to share food. Like the teachers say you can't share
Oh,
each other's
that's good.
lunch or share each other's
That's good.
anything. And then like if someone brings like cupcakes or something,
for a party or whatever, they'll contact us and say, if it's not okay, if your child has a cupcake or whatever.
Oh, that's good.
Because they do all, you know, allergies and stuff too. But
yes.
At first I was like, that's so stupid. Why can't she have some of her apple? But now you're so right. It's like, I don't know where that apple came from. Yeah. Like, I don't know what her parents did with that apple.
Exactly.
So you want to think people have the best intentions or people just normal, mm-hmm. but it's not the case a lot of the right. time. And it's safer to just say, you know what? I don't know where that came from. So
just say no.
Just say no.
Yes.
And
yes.
actually my 3-year-old's had hip surgery this year. One of my daughters had to go back in a cast and go back under anesthesia in August.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very recent thing, but now they prescribe Narcan with any controlled substance for children.
Wow.
I have been seeing that. I've been seeing that. That was something fairly new.
Yeah, it's very new. It's very new because my girls, like one of them had surgery in April, one of them had surgery in May. And so this last time when she had her procedure again in August, they prescribed it and they hadn't before. And I was like, oh, and he's like, do you want it? Or, you know, sometimes insurance companies won't pay for it. And I'm like, I want it because I have children and you're right. Like, what if they got into the cabinet and took something what if my neighbor, you know, found her son, what if I could save someone's life with that?
Absolutely.
So I feel good about having that in my home.
Yeah, that's good.
I have absolutely, like, I don't know anyone who experiments with drugs, but that doesn't matter, does it? Like,
no,
it really doesn't matter. So yeah, I mean, it's so great that you give those things out. And
that's
so.
A good point. That's one of the things that, you know, I spoke to a golf club, and that was an interesting, like, I change up my speeches when I talk to each one. And that one, I could tell they kind of had the, you know, little like, oh, what do we need to learn from, you know? So I remember when I went into this one, I said, hey, man, I have a headache and some cramps, like Zumba. And immediately all the ladies, the purses, some of the gentlemen, and they started handing me stuff. And I said, that's the exact reason why I'm here today.
Wow.
As fast as you were to hand me a pill or some kind of meds, kids are dying from fentanyl thinking it's something just like I could take.
And that's so powerful.
It really is.
I remember, and where I got that from is because once I lost Kyle, and even on the day we cremated him and we just did the viewing, there were some of my friends even were like, hey, I know you're probably going through some depression, and they were trying to give me theirs. And that's kind of where it came from, is that I didn't know that's what happened to Kyle.
Right.
But now hearing other people's stories too, like there's when I went to Florida, we did a big event there, and there were several of us on the stage. And I remember this daughter was on stage. She had lost her dad, and he was just having pain from, I think it was from work. And he was with his workout buddy, and his buddy gave him a pill, what he thought was, you know, just a regular pain med or something. And that's where also it came about, is like, we don't know behind closed doors. Like, I literally, to this day, if I get a headache or whatever else, I'm not taking anything from anybody, period.
No.
Like, you know, I always tell people too, unless it's been sealed, I see that, you know, because I don't know about you, but I've ran out of some of my pills and I've put them in other ones, but I know what they are.
Right.
I don't even do that, because I'd be seeing people like pouring out, like, oh, I think, and then they're looking and I'm like, how do you know that's that pill? Well, you don't also know, like I said, where they got it from and where that person got it from. And so that's the biggest thing when I hear people like, oh, I trust them, or I trust my drug dealer. And it's like, yeah,
no.
Okay. You're going to chance your life right now. That I would rather just go up to the store and buy a little pack.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I told my nephew. He's the other day, he said, when I was doing the Tyler Skaggs case, I reminded him, I've already had conversations with him about taking pills, but he said he had a headache at work the other day, and I said, "Please tell me you didn't take anything from anybody." He said, "No, I just dealt with the headache."
Oh,
Poor
good.
guy, but I mean, call me, I'll bring you some medicine or something.
And some of the that's one of the things too that's been good is a lot of the nurses and a lot of the teachers now are they're trying to get the Narcan and certain things in the rooms too, because like I said, the amount of time that you have to administer certain the Narcan is very short. And if the nursing thing's way over there, you're not gonna have enough time. So that's one of the other things I'm like, if you can keep it on you, like
Yeah. Oh,
so
something to think about for sure. Wow. There's
yes.
just so much to know. I mean, and that's the thing is you wouldn't know these things unless you heard from a victim who's already eaten, slept, dreamt, breathed all of this stuff for the amount of years that you've gone through and you teach us. Like, we're so grateful that you have taken this on yourself because we wouldn't know. Like, we wouldn't know this stuff.
Oh, that was the only way to deal with it, I'll be honest, because I was like, I'm one of those that I'm like a Google queen and I have to look up everything. So I was like, what am I experiencing? What am I going through? What is fentanyl? What is this? What it like I had to do like it was kind of like going back to college. Like I've learned so much more about drugs than I've ever wanted to, aspect. And it also, to be honest, it's given me a different perspective from the addiction side of things than before. Now I can understand more of like friends or family or other people that went through that down that road,
Right,
of
right.
we all have some kind of addiction of something, but gave me a different perspective of, what they're experiencing and going through. And especially like what's happening now too is a lot of people will get what they think, like I said, the Percocet, and call it the cookie effect. I don't know if y'all have heard of this, but imagine like a chocolate chip cookie and all the, the Hershey kisses, right? Imagine those Hershey kisses are the little small specks of the little, that's fentanyl. And so if I break off that cookie and maybe you got, Elena, you got three or four, and then you got like two, you don't know how it's going to affect. And I think like what maybe even happened that day with my son is the friend might have tried it and didn't happen to him. Maybe he had a higher tolerance. Kyle had never done it, but the other thing is some people don't know that's what's in it too. So like a lot of people were like, well, why would the cartels and all these people and drug dealers be putting that in? I go, it's cheaper. And then the other reason is because you become addicted to it. So like you think you're getting cocaine or you think you're getting something and you're like, oh man, that was some good crap. That's some good
See,
stuff,
that's
like.
we even mentioned that question on our on the episode last week. Like, why do you have to put it in there? Like, just do a placebo pill and sell it. But you're right, they want them addicted to it, so they come back.
So they keep coming back. And then, like I said, a lot of people, a lot of it was happening to the homeless at first and people on the streets. And a lot of us didn't care, I'll be honest, until it started happening to a lot of us other parents and kids, we didn't know. So it got to the point where it's like, you don't know it's in there. And then you're trying it and then you keep going back because you're like, oh, that was some really good stuff. There's been people where I've even talked to them about, if you can, don't do any drugs, period. Like drugs are not the same drugs as they were years ago because, I have had parents where their kids smoked weed and it was in the weed or it was in the, not the wrapping, what's it called? I just went blank on the joint, like the papers and stuff, the blunts, and so not knowing that and putting up to your lips and then smoke, so there's just a lot of aspects like that that, I didn't even know. Like I've since losing Kyle and seeing friends that were partying on certain, New Year's and certain things, I'm like, that was my time to tell them too. Like, do you know where that came from? Like, I know you're trying to have fun, but I was like, here's some Narcan too. Like, but not trying to be a Debbie Downer for everybody, but.
Right. I think you have every right to be a Debbie Downer if you
Yeah.
want that.
Oh, well, what's funny is I was telling somebody a story the other day, and I actually there was I hadn't been out, and this was after COVID and things started opening up again. And I remember we went to Dallas for something, and we went into the bathroom to go to the restroom, and this girl is snorting coke in the bathroom.
Oh my
And
God.
she's talking about, oh, I haven't been out in a while. I've just, had my baby. And so I'm over here like, come here, white girl. Like, I was like, hey, I gotta tell you this. I know you're probably drunk and now you just smoked coke, but I'm gonna say this. Do you know what fentanyl is? Like, I gave her the wristband. I told her. And then somebody that worked there came and told me I needed to stop. And I was like, oh no. I said, I lost my son too. And I was like, do you know what was happening in the bathroom? And so I called that lady out too. I was like, I can take, you want me to talk to your manager? I was like, I
Right.
don't know what. Yeah. I was like, I can't believe you're condoning, like,
Well,
whatever
because
they.
you're making her business go away.
Yeah. I was like, okay. I was like, well, I was like, I'm just letting her know because I lost my child that way. And I'm like, don't want somebody else. Like, if you have dead body all of a sudden in the bathroom,
I thought free speech was still one of our amendments, and we
No,
could share
oh,
hardly
it's
among us
unfortunate.
each other, like we could really
Yeah.
say anything we want to each Yeah. other, We're just but
having a conversation.
no,
Thank
you're
you.
right.
Yep.
That is not the case anymore.
Nope. Somebody has to butt in or give their 2 cents. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I remember that story and I was just like, I can't believe this is happening. I'm just telling somebody to be careful. Like, just like in the days if somebody wanted to have sex, I'd be like, here's a condom. You know
Right.
what
Oh, you can't do that. You can't do that.
No.
Oh, Lord Almighty.
So,
Wow.
yeah. So times are changed and yeah, but.
So different. Yeah, so
Well,
different.
now I know more about it. I can
Yes,
talk to people myself and.
I was like, seriously, I was like hanging on every word. Like I feel so educated now, and being educated on something you didn't know is not a bad thing. I think people
No.
find the stigma of learning, like, oh, I didn't know that, and oh, I don't need to know stuff like
Yeah.
that. But knowledge is power,
Oh,
isn't
yeah.
it? I mean, the more you know, with the star
Oh,
that goes
no. I now call myself a conspiracy junkie because after
through.
my son, I'm like, and then now you're finding out things are actually real that they kept saying it was conspiracy. I'm like, see? So now I'm just like,
You should start your own
yeah, right.
podcast.
So, well, thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you.
Yes, thank
Really,
you.
thank you so much. And we just pray that you have a wonderful rest of your pregnancy and those babies get here safely. And
And maybe
you can even send me a text and I'll come hold those babies when
oh
they're
yeah,
born.
I know. I was like, I already told a lot of my friends and family. I'm like, I'm gonna need a break afterwards.
Yeah, I want to hold some babies.
Yeah.
But what was I going to say? Thank you for all
Yeah.
that you're doing with your
Yeah, thank you.
organization, and we will share that in our show notes and on our Instagram and everything, so that we'll link it everywhere. So
Yeah.
hopefully, people can be as educated as we feel right now.
Yes.
All
Well, I
right. Well,
appreciate y'all. Thank you for covering it too, because
of course.
if we don't talk about it, I always say bring the dark to light, and that's
Absolutely.
what we got to do.
Shine the light. That's
Yeah.
right. Well,
Yep.
will you take care of yourself,
Okay.
girl?
Thank you. I'm
Thanks,
gonna go
Stephanie.
get some food.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. Get connected with us by becoming a free member on our Patreon. Or for just $5 a month, you'll have access to bonus episodes, discussion groups, and much more. If you can't afford $5 a month, we get it. Inflation, am I right? Please consider leaving us a positive review and rating wherever you listen.
And don't forget merch. Support our podcast and show the love by sporting t-shirts with our latest designs or grab an evidence bag to keep the chain of custody for all your valuables. Don't forget to follow our show on your favorite streaming app so you never miss an episode, and get photos and updates on our Instagram at Cousins on Crime Podcast or our Cousins on Crime Facebook page. Have a case suggestion? Email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com.